Right now, like somewhere in the world, there is an autonomous AI spending a company's budget. And get this, no human is actually watching it.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's negotiating with vendors, it's organizing data, maybe it's even sending emails directly to clients, and the managers of that company are probably treating this AI the exact same way they treat, you know, a word processor or a spreadsheet.
Which is terrifying, honestly.
It is.
Yeah.
Because we have this deeply ingrained expectation of how our relationship with computers works. You open a program, you see a blank canvas or like an idle engine, and it just waits.
Right.
It sits there completely frozen in time until you hit a key, you command, it responds. It's just a passive tool.
But that mental model is completely collapsing right now.
Yeah.
We are moving from passive software to hyperactive, independent entities.
Yeah.
We are entering what's called the era of the agentic organization. And treating these new AI agents like a standard software purchase, expecting them to just sit quietly on a hard drive, is quite literally the most dangerous mistake a leadership team can make right now.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are looking at an extensive blueprint for navigating this massive shift. We were pulling from an incredible book called Human Before the Loop by Rob Van Linde, along with his practical field tests and dashboard architectures.
And a quick note on the book itself, which I love. He co-wrote it in just 2 days with Claude Sonnet 4.6.
2 days. That's insane.
Right. But he didn't use the AI to fix typos or format paragraphs. He used it as a genuine peer, a thinking partner, in a process he calls augmented intelligence.
So cool. Well, our mission today is to give you a shortcut to understanding how to prepare your organization, your culture, and your leadership for AI agents that act entirely independently. Okay, let's unpack this because to govern AI safely, we really have to completely dismantle our concept of what AI actually is.
Yeah.
You have to stop viewing it as software and start viewing it as a workforce.
Exactly. To understand that shift, we need to look at the fundamental difference between a tool and an agent.
Yeah.
A tool, like we said, requires a human operator to drive every single action. An agent, though, pursues a goal. It can string together multiple steps, it uses tools on its own, and it makes decisions to navigate around obstacles.
But there's a massive dilemma here, right?
Yeah, the thing organizations consistently fail to grasp is that these agents have absolutely zero common sense.
They are brilliant, but entirely context blind.
Precisely. I mean, an agent will work around the clock without taking a break, but it cannot read a room.
No.
It cannot sense the nuance of a fragile client relationship. It cannot look at a situation, realize that the original context of your instruction has completely changed, and just stop itself.
It just keeps going.
It will execute whatever flawed instruction it was given at machine speed at an immense scale until a hard boundary literally forces it to stop.
It's, well, buying an AI agent without doing the organizational prep work is basically like hiring a brilliantly fast human employee, giving them no job description, no manager, and full access to the company credit card.
Oh, wow.
And then acting completely shocked when things go horribly wrong.
That is a perfect analogy because when that hypothetical employee maxes out the corporate card, the failure wasn't a technical glitch.
Right.
The employee did exactly what you allowed them to do. If your instructions and boundaries are vague, an AI agent will just operationalize your vagueness at light speed. The technology didn't fail, your governance failed.
So, if we can't treat these agents like software, how are companies actually deploying them on the ground?
Well, the source material outlines two main architectures, starting with the sub-agent.
Okay.
The analogy used here is a commercial kitchen. So the sub-agent is your sauce chef.
Right, they're just making the hollandaise.
Exactly. They do that one specific task perfectly. They don't know what the pastry chef is doing. They don't even know if the customer ordered hollandaise. They just execute their highly isolated, predictable function and hand the output back.
Got it. And what's the other architecture?
The alternative is the agent team, which introduces significantly more complexity.
I can imagine.
These are specialized agents running in parallel, communicating directly with each other to solve a problem. Usually, they're overseen by a lead agent who synthesizes all their work.
Like a head chef.
Exactly. But whether you are using an isolated sub-agent or a complex swarm, the core philosophy Van Linde insists on is human before the loop or HB4L.
Let's ground that concept with the Scrum refinement example from the text, because I think this perfectly illustrates what human before the loop actually looks like in practice.
It's a great example.
Yeah, instead of an agent just making decisions for a development team, the agent operates in the background. It pulls the entire Jira history of the team analyzing past sprints, past mistakes, and then generates a time estimate based purely on historical data.
Notice the mechanism there, though. The agent doesn't interrupt a planning meeting to declare the correct answer.
Right. It doesn't take over.
It doesn't finalize the timeline. It simply prepares a data mirror.
It holds up a mirror to the team's own history. But the human scrum master retains the actual decision-making power.
Exactly.
The human looks at that data and decides whether to surface it to the team to break a tie or, you know, provide perspective. The human is placed before the loop.
Because they design the context and set the boundaries. The agent doesn't know that the lead developer is dealing with a personal issue.
Oh, true.
Or that there's an unannounced compliance rule coming down from legal. The human has the contextual intelligence that the machine totally lacks. The machine provides the preparation, and the human provides the judgment.
Wait, I have to push back on this premise a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, isn't the whole promise of AI to bypass human error, to cut through the corporate red tape so we don't have to rely on flawed, slow human dynamics? If we are putting humans constantly before the loop, why does AI make human culture more important, not less?
What's fascinating here is that autonomy actually requires a foundation of accountability that most companies haven't built yet.
Really?
Yeah. The source material brings up this brutal McKinsey statistic. 70% of agile transformations fail.
70%.
And they fail because organizations just copy-paste frameworks without fixing their underlying culture. It's the caterpillar and butterfly metaphor.
Oh, I like that one.
Right. Digitalization just makes a caterpillar faster. But true transformation makes it a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just slap AI onto a toxic culture and expect a butterfly. It's like taking a boxy, un-aerodynamic car and slapping a jet engine onto it.
You haven't made a race car. You've just ensured the vehicle is going to crash into a wall much, much faster.
Exactly. AI amplifies whatever culture already exists.
So if you have a rigid, blame-heavy culture, AI just accelerates that dysfunction.
Precisely. An organization that has never learned to safely delegate authority to its own human employees will never achieve agentic accountability.
That makes total sense.
Think about it. If a company operates on fear, what happens when an employee spots an autonomous agent hallucinating data or making a critical error?
They'll hide it.
They will absolutely hide it.
Mm.
They won't pull the emergency brake because they are terrified of being punished for the delay. AI requires massive psychological safety.
Because the human teams need to feel completely safe flagging an error when the system goes off the rails.
Yes.
The text actually talks about leadership protecting the agentic learning curve. Like, when a company first deploys these agents, the humans configuring them are going to make mistakes. It is an entirely new operational muscle.
And if a leader responds to those early configuration mistakes with punishment, the learning completely stops.
The mistakes just go underground.
And hidden mistakes in autonomous systems compound exponentially. Leadership has to transition from trying to control every outcome to enabling their teams with genuine curiosity.
Right, asking things like, what boundary did we miss? Or how do we adjust the agent's context?
Exactly. Soft skills like judgment, ethics, empathy, the courage to speak up, they are no longer secondary traits. They are the core competencies of the agentic era.
So a healthy culture is the absolute prerequisite. But I mean, a culture is such a squishy, abstract concept.
It is.
And we just established that these machines have zero common sense. So how do we actually translate something as abstract as company culture into a format that an AI can strictly follow?
That requires an entirely new layer of infrastructure called org DNA.
Org DNA?
Yeah, the book defines org DNA as the cognitive constitution of your organization. It doesn't tell the agents what specific tasks to do. It dictates how to think while doing them.
Wow, okay.
But before you even write this constitution, organizations must pass a readiness gate.
This is the traffic light model, right?
Yes. Green means your leadership is completely aligned on vision and values, so proceed with deployment. Amber means there are operational gaps, so you need to do foundational alignment work first.
And red.
Red means there is no coherent identity at the leadership level, meaning do not deploy autonomous AI at all. It's too dangerous.
Okay, assuming a company gets a green light, they must execute a rigorous 5-step org DNA design routine.
Right. And instead of just listing these steps, imagine a company trying to deploy a customer service agent without them. If they skip step one, which is who are we, the agent doesn't understand the company's core mission. If they skip step two, how do we think? No, the agent has no decision principles.
So when a customer demands a massive refund, the agent doesn't know whether the company prioritizes immediate resolution or cost protection.
Exactly. It might instantly drain the company's accounts just to close the ticket quickly and make the customer happy.
Yikes. And step three is, how do we act? So that's the behavioral standards and escalation instincts.
Yes.
Step four defines, what do we protect? Basically, the absolute red lines no agent is ever allowed to cross, like altering financial records without dual human authorization.
Right. And if an organization fails to define those first four steps, the agent is slime blind. But step five is the most technically demanding.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because step five is translation. How does a machine actually process a corporate value statement? You can't just feed an AI a PDF of an inspirational poster that says put the customer first and expect it to know what that means in a database.
You absolutely cannot. The translation step requires converting abstract human principles into unambiguous, machine-readable instructions.
The author refers to these as pre-chewed principles, right?
Yes, pre-chewed principles.
Yeah.
You have to define the exact operational boundaries of a value. Let's say speed and compliance are both core values.
They will inevitably collide.
They always do. So the org DNA must explicitly tell the agent which value overrides the other under pressure. You actually have to run conflict checks in the prompt engineering to ensure the AI doesn't freeze up when two rules contradict each other.
So the org DNA gives the AI its internal compass, but we still need a technical layer to physically control the environment. We need to dictate exactly what the agent is allowed to touch and mathematically enforce when it must ask a human for help.
Which brings us to the hard technical protocols, starting with the MCP, the Model Context Protocol.
Right.
Think of the MCP as a highly specific key ring. It defines the exact data sources, APIs, and internal systems an agent has the credentials to access.
There is a really counterintuitive rule the source material brings up here, the 30-tool limit.
Oh, this is crucial.
Yeah, because the instinct for most companies is to make their AI as powerful as possible by giving it access to hundreds of tools, email, Slack, Salesforce, the entire ERP system.
Which is a catastrophic design choice. And not just from a security standpoint, but mechanically.
Why is that?
Well, when you give an AI a tool, you have to feed the description of how that tool works into the AI's context window, its working memory.
So if you give it 100 tools, the AI spends all of its cognitive processing power just reading the JSON descriptions of its own toolbox.
Exactly. It gets cognitive overload.
Wow.
By the time it processes what tools are available, it has completely forgotten the original prompt.
Mm.
So list privilege, you know, restricting an agent to only the three or four tools it absolutely needs is a fundamental design principle for performance. It keeps the agent focused.
Okay, so once you have the MCP handing out the keys, you need a way to govern the behavior of the entire network of agents, and that is the ACP, the Agent Communication Protocol.
Yes.
I like to think of it this way. If the MCP is the physical key ring, the ACP acts like the CSS file on a website.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Instead of going into every single page of a website to change the font color, you change it once in the CSS, and the whole site updates instantly. With the ACP, you write the governance rules once, and it globally dictates how agents are allowed to interact across the entire swarm.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the ACP is the mechanism that triggers the ultimate safety net, A2H, or agent-to-human escalation paths.
Right, because an autonomous agent will not stop unless it hits a boundary defined by the ACP that forces it to route the decision back to a human.
Exactly. And the source material details how these escalation paths aren't just a simple error message. They are highly specific workflows.
Like what?
Well, let's say an agent is processing vendor invoices and it spots an anomaly. It doesn't just crash. Depending on the ACP rules, it might initiate an informed path, simply pinging a manager's Slack to say, hey, I paid this standard invoice.
Okay, but what if something is actually missing?
If the invoice is missing a tax ID, it triggers a collect path, asking the human to provide the missing data before it proceeds. And if the invoice is over a certain dollar amount, it hits an authorized path, requiring explicit cryptographic approval from a human.
And if there's a huge red flag, like the vendor is suddenly flagged on a compliance watch list,
then the agent triggers a full escalate path, completely handing the task over to human legal teams. And finally, the result path ensures the agent documents the outcome of whichever route was taken.
For organizations in heavily regulated industries like finance or healthcare, this A2H process creates a cryptographic evidence bundle.
Yes, which is vital.
It is non-repudiable proof of the interaction. It proves mathematically what the human saw on their screen, what exact data the agent provided, and what the human authorized. It turns human before the loop from a, a management philosophy into a hard-coded, unalterable audit trail.
And we know this architecture isn't just theoretical because Van Linde validated it in the field.
Right, he built this.
He deployed this framework into Tascade, and the system dynamically generated a governed agentic swarm. He built specific oversight agents right into the dashboard.
Like Scale Guardian.
Yes, Scale Guardian constantly monitors the output of the working agents against the org DNA to detect if the company culture is drifting.
That is wild.
And there's another one called the Watcher, which is a hard security agent that immediately blocks any action not explicitly permitted by the MCP, instantly triggering an A2H escalation.
But the blueprint also highlights a critical vulnerability regarding data privacy. Tascade is great for validation, but for long-term deployment, especially for European companies dealing with strict GDPR laws, Van Linde points toward a total sovereignty tool stack.
Yes, he suggests using Mistral AI for reasoning, Nextcloud for storage, and Concept Board for visual mapping.
Why that specific combination?
It really comes down to separating the brain from the vault.
Okay.
In a total sovereignty stack, your proprietary company data lives securely in Nextcloud. That's your vault. Mistral AI acts as the reasoning engine, the brain.
So when an agent needs to perform a task,
it securely pulls the necessary files from the vault, processes the reasoning in a completely isolated environment using Mistral, and then deposits the result back into Nextcloud.
So the AI provider never actually retains or trains on your company's data.
Exactly. The reasoning engine has absolutely no long-term memory of your proprietary information. You are intentionally designing where your data lives, who has access to it, and how your agents reason with it.
You're architecting digital sovereignty, not just paying for a software subscription.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? If we synthesize everything we've explored in this deep dive, moving your company into the era of the agentic organization is not about securing a massive budget to buy the shiniest new large language model.
Not at all.
It is about having the courage to do the slow, incredibly unglamorous human work first. You have to fix your underlying culture. You have to teach your leaders to respond to mistakes with curiosity rather than blame. You have to rigorously debate and define your org DNA so the machines actually know how to think. And only then do you carefully configure your MCP to restrict access and enforce your behavioral rules with the ACP. You don't need to be a software engineer to lead an AI transformation. You need to be a deeply empathetic, crystal clear human leader.
That is the core reality of this transition. But there is one final, almost mind-bending concept from Van Linde's blueprint that I want to leave you with.
Oh, let's hear it.
We know that corporate transformations are notoriously difficult because organizations leak knowledge.
Right. People get busy.
They get busy. They stop documenting why decisions were made.
Yeah.
And the institutional memory just vanishes. Well, agentic AI can actually solve this.
By documenting the transformation itself?
Yes, but not through simple transcription.
Yeah.
I mean, a wall of text from a meeting transcript is useless.
Sure.
You can actually deploy an agent to sit silently in your strategic meetings and design sessions. Its only goal is to extract the reasoning. It captures why a leadership team made a specific decision, what boundaries were debated, and what failures were analyzed. It builds a permanent, highly searchable organizational memory. You are literally using the AI to document the human process of learning how to govern the AI.
It's turning fleeting conversations into permanent organizational intelligence. That was incredible.
It really is. But it raises an important question, and it's the thought I want you to mull over as we wrap up today.
Okay.
If an AI agent were sitting in your team's meetings right now, quietly capturing the actual unvarnished memory of your company's culture to train your future autonomous workforce, what kind of culture is it actually learning?
Mm.
Is it learning transparency and accountability? Or is it learning blame, hesitation, and vagueness? Are you ready for an AI to scale the reality of your leadership? Or is it time to fix the reality before that blank canvas starts acting on its own?